Kvias, the way the Jewish calendar fell out in the year Tavshanun Aleph, is the same as it is this year. Akev, so which was Shabbos Paras Akev, which was yesterday, and that year it came out the same way as it came out this year, that it's Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, we benched Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rosh Chodesh Elul is the following Shabbos and Sunday. So the Rebbe started off right away saying that since we're standing on Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, Elul is called also the month of making a personal accounting, a personal reckoning, the Chodesh HaCheshbon. Make a Cheshbon, being that it's the last month of the year, so you have to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, a personal accounting for the entire year. And it has to be a proper accounting. It's not just an accounting. It has to be an exacting and proper accounting of the Aveda of the previous year. So the Rebbe says it's an appropriate time to think into the general significance of what of this particular Cheshbon HaNefesh that a person has to make. And the Aveda that this has to bring out in the Jew. In other words, everything has a... We don't just do it as an exercise. The point is, it has to lead to a certain Aveda. So that's going to be the focus of the discussion, of the talk that the Rebbe gave on that Shabbos. The Rebbe says, being that we have this unique kvias, which, as the Rebbe says, is always bashkacha pratis, and it's always exact, so we could also take a lesson on the subject of the Cheshbon of Chodesh Elul from the fact that, A, the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh fall out on Shabbos and Sunday, and B, that the Shabbos, which we bench, the month of Elul, is Parshas Akev. So the Rebbe says, yeah, being that Chodesh Elul is the month of making an accounting, which the point of accounting is twofold. The point of making an accounting is to assess what you've done till now, and also come up with a bottom line in terms of what you've accomplished till now, and also what needs to be fixed, what needs to be corrected, what needs to be changed. So, that being the case, so it includes all aspects of a person's aveda throughout the year. So, obviously, that this accounting has to be, as much as it has to be specific, it also has to be focused on the general aveda of a person. And this is actually alluded to in the name of the month of El. The name of the month of El is Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Which actually expresses the general meaning and significance of a person's work, a person's labor, a person's mission in this world. Which we know that the entire we know that a person's job in this world is to connect and become one with the Eibishter. So, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me, expresses the general content of what a person is, the work that a person is doing in this world, which is to connect to the Eibishter and to become one with the Eibishter. The way that a person connects to the Eibishter and becomes one, the way that a person connects with the Eibishter is twofold. One is Ani L'Doidi, where a Jew, the arousal and the effort that a Jew makes from the bottom up, working his way up to connect to the Eibishter.
Open it.
Okay. Through serving the Eibishter with Torah mitzvahs, and then there's the V'daydi Li. So the I am to my beloved expresses the work that a Jew does to connect to the Eibishter through working his way up from the bottom, step by step, through Torah mitzvahs. And then there's the V'daydi Li, which is the drawing down and the divine assistance that comes from the Eibusher to a Jew from above, down below, in a way of what's referred to in Hasidic terminology as Isarusa de la'ela. So the arousal from below is called Isarusa de la'sata. That's the where the person takes the initiative and does the work to come close to the Eibusher. And then there's the divine assistance and revelation from above that's called the Isarusa de la'ela, an arousal from above. So what's the order of events? In terms of building this relationship, that's obviously a two-sided relationship. You work to get close to the Eibusher, and the Eibusher in turn turns around in response to your efforts to getting close to him, which is the Sarusa de Lusata. The Eibusher responds in kind and draws closer to you, which is the Sarusa de Leila. So the way it's expressed in the word Elul, which is the Rosh HaTevis, Anila Deidi V'Deidi Li, this is the order, this is actually the order, the way this process is supposed to unfold. It's all supposed to start with the initiative of the person. First comes Anila Deidi, I am to my beloved. Then comes the order of V'Deidi Li. Now, it's true that there is another pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says Deidi Li V'Ani Li. At first it says, but that's not the general approach, and that it is brought that there is such a concept that sometimes there's an arousal from above, which is only then first followed by an arousal from below, and that's associated with the revelations that start in the month of Nisan. But generally, the point of a person's effort in this world is, the normal order is first ani l'daydi, that you have to make the first effort, and then it's v'daydi. Because the actual ultimate point of all of everything is that first off, you have to start working your way, doing the work through your own efforts, starting with the ani, I, investing your own self and your own efforts, not to wait until he's first inspired and aroused from above, but he has to, on his own, be aroused himself to get close to the Eibusher, to draw close to the Eibusher. Why is that? Because we know that the whole intent and purpose of creation of the person and the sending of a soul down below is all that, so that everything that a person receives from the Eibusher should not be in the way of what is called Na'ama de Kisufa. Na'ama de Kisufa literally translates as bread of shame. Why is it called bread of shame? It means something that a person got that they didn't earn. If you got something that you didn't earn, it feels like it induces shame in the person. He knows he's not deserving. He's not.
Give an example.
What is it? But even you get a free handout from somebody. When somebody gives you a hand. So it's explained that in Kabbalah and Chassidus, that the whole purpose of the whole exercise, right? Whatever revelations Eibusher wanted to bring in the times of Mashiach and the in Tchias HaMesim and afterwards, all those revelations, Eibusher could do it without any effort. He doesn't need us to do any work in order to create any. So the whole purpose of this whole exercise where a Jew, he created the human being and he sent him down here to do this whole work, was so that everything that he wants that he desperately, infinitely wants to give and share with the Jewish people should come to them in a way that they earned it. It shouldn't be a handout. The point is, so it's brought in Svarim that ultimately, what we say is that ultimately, the reason why it's called a gift, the Torah is called a gift, is because even no matter how much you do for the Eibusher, you can never really quite, what you give is not equal to what you get. Right. But the point is still, to whatever degree possible, you want it should come through your efforts. So it says that even when it comes to a gift, people don't give gifts to Islam and the Veltarain, they give a gift to somebody that they feel that the person did something for them, that made them, the person invested something in that relationship, which has inspired you to give them a gift. You don't just give gifts to people who didn't in some way do something that made you careful. So if the whole point of the exercise is that it should all come from that everything a person has, including all the ultimate revelations that the Jewish people will experience, should come in a way that it should not be bread of shame, but it should be something that was earned through your efforts. And the Rebbe says that this is actually even more emphasized in Chassidus than in Judaism in general, as if we know the well-known saying of the Friedrich Rebbe, that by Chassidim is Nitokim v'derech memeila. By Chassidim, there's nothing that we say comes automatically. That everything everything that a person has to be achieved through their own efforts, and this is even more emphasized in Chassidus and by Chassidim. There's a story that brings out this idea. It happened with Reb Shlomo Chaim Kesselman, Olav HaShalom. He was learning in Taim Chitzumim in Lubavitch, and one of the things that the Rebbe Rashab mentioned in a maimah, but it's also mentioned in many of the earlier maimarim from the earlier Rabbeim as well. It's brought numerous places of Chassidus, that Chassidus wants to give an example of when the Yechidah Shebenefesh shines in a person. So one of the examples that Chassidus gives is that you see that when it comes Ne'ilah time, even simple people who are not on any very great level, or even people who are in many ways far from perfection, when it comes to Ne'ilah time, they burst out into tears without any preparation, without any effort. It just naturally, they just break down into tears. So Shlomo Chaim Kesselman came to the Rebbe Rashab. He had Yechidus once. He was a Bach, he had Yechidus. So he asked the Rebbe Rashab. It says, Chassidus always talks about how the Jew who automatically bursts out crying by Ne'ilah because the Yechidus HaBenefesh shines forth in the person at the time of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. He says, how come it doesn't happen to me? I learn Chassidus, I daven, I work. I'm not like the, if it happens to the guy who's maybe even not so high, it happens because it's just automatic. How come it doesn't happen for me? So the Rebbe Rashab said that by a Chabad Chassid, the things that everybody else has automatically, he doesn't get automatically. He has to work for it. That even the things that, you know, it's not just you have to work on the things that by definition require effort. Even the things that by definition, most normal people don't require effort. When you become a Chabad Chassid, even those things don't stop coming automatically. You have to work very hard in order to get to the point where you experience those things that the other person experiences automatically. Of course, it's self-understood that when you experience it, it's much deeper and much more intense because you worked for it, because you prepared for it, so obviously it's much more deeper and much more internalized, as he will actually explain further on in the Sikha. But that's to illustrate this point, that the whole point of a person's avodah is that it should come through his own efforts. So as Chazal say, Lo yagatiu matzasi al tamen. Now, if a person says, "I did not put in effort, but I found," it's talking about the study of Torah. If a person says, "I did not put in effort, but I found," in other words, I accomplished a great deal in Torah study without effort, don't believe him. If a person says, "I put in effort and I didn't find," don't believe him. If he says, "I put in effort and I found," then you should believe. So the Rebbe adds an interesting parenthetical comment here. The Rebbe says that, by the way, this is not exclusive only to spiritual matters. This rule is not exclusive only to spiritual matters. The Rebbe says, "Bepashtus." My wife actually had a debate about this with a very scholarly Lubavitcher online, and he was insisting that it only applies to spiritual matters. And she challenged him, and then she actually found the sources. She came to me for the sources in the Sikha. So he has a source where the Rebbe says, Bepashtus, that this rule, it's, the Rebbe says, this is also the nature of all human beings, even non-Jews, and even more so by Jews, and even more so when they do their avoda in a way that transcends the limitations of nature and of their habits. They go beyond what they're comfortable with. So the emphasis of Pashto is that this rule applies in all things and in all situations, even to non-Jews. If you work hard, if you put in a lot of effort, by Jews it's even more, because a Jew has the capacity to transcend his nature and to be an Oved Elokim, someone who goes beyond, who goes that extra distance. But the Rebbe says it applies in all things in life. It applies. If someone says I succeeded without effort, don't believe him. If someone says I put in effort and I did not succeed, don't believe him. That, the person says I put in the effort and I succeeded, you should believe him. So the Rebbe says, through this process, which again starts with Ani L'Doidi, it all starts with the arousal from below. This, the right way of doing things is that when it's through the Ani L'Doidi, that brings about the V'Doidi Li. That even the divine response should be as a response to your efforts. It shouldn't be some way, you shouldn't be waiting around for it to come to you from above. The way things are supposed to work, the right way of approaching your avodah is with the understanding, anything I expect from above, I put in the work first to get close to God, and only then does God respond in kind with V'doidi Li, my beloved is to me. Which is to say that in general we know that even before there's an arousal from below, in order for a Jew to do his avodah, there has to be some kind of arousal or inspiration from above. How do you have the energy? How do you have the ability? How do you have the koyach to get close to God? That has to come from God too. How can a human being get close to God? So even your own initiative has to come from with assistance from above. But the way you approach it, the lesson from the month of El is that your approach has to be, it's all about the work that I do. I'm not sitting around and waiting that even the help that I'm hoping for from above, the way a Jew is supposed to approach is that his entire focus is to do the work myself, which is actually expressed by the idea that the entire Chodesh El is for the most part comprised of regular weekdays. It's not a special holiday or anything. It's just ordinary weekdays, and you go about your ordinary weekday activities, because that's, again, expresses the work that a Jew does as he is a finite, limited being in a finite, limited world involved with small, petty, finite, mundane weekday affairs. And it's all about your initiative to get close to God. And through that, and as a result of that, of the Ani L'Doidi, that itself should bring about the V'Doidi Li, and in fact, an even higher arousal from above than that which gives you the energy to even get started. But that all should be as a result of your efforts. That has to be your focus. So the Rebbe is also alluded to in the fact that the first letter of the month of El is the Aleph, which represents... The Aleph represents two things. On the one hand, it's the beginning of all the letters. Beginning, which means first you have to start with Aleph, and then you get to Beis, and then you get to Gimel, and then you get to Dalet. It means you're starting from the bottom, and you're working your way up. But also the idea, spiritually, when we say something is the beginning of all the letters, means it includes in it everything that's going to follow. So that's both these ideas. On the one hand, it all has to come, the focus has to be that it all comes about through your effort, And that's where your focus is. That's your whole approach to your spiritual life is. I got to do the work. But to realize that in that doing the work, you have the power to take a draw down, to bring down tremendous divine assistance and divine revelation, even far greater than anything you put in. So the Rebbe says that since both these things are included in the name of the month of Elul says Ani L'doydi and V'doydi Li. That doesn't just focus on, it's not entirely about the work from below. It incorporates both aspects, the work from below and the divine revelation from above. And since we said that the month of Elul is all about your own work, so how is the revelation from above, the V'doydi Li, how is that included in your own work? So the Rebbe says, we have to say that in a person's avodah, there has to be both these things. That in a person's divine service, there has to be the work that you do from the bottom up, and then there has to be the work that you do in a top-down sort of way. This is, what does that mean? That there's two different avodahs, one is a bottom-up and one is a top-down. The Rebbe says, that's because a Jew is made up of a neshama and a guf. Mitzad the guf is a lowly, earthly existence. In order for the guf to get close to God, so you have to start from the bottom up. You got to work, you got to develop, you have to refine yourself, you have to elevate yourself, you have to develop yourself. Mitzad the neshama, and mitzad the neshama is one with God. The neshama has is completely one with God. So mitzad the neshama is the capacity to bring down, to do an avodah which is completely above the finite limitations of a finite, limited physical being. This is actually alluded to in the way the month of Elul falls out this year, because the first day is Shabbos, and the first day is Chodesh Shabbos, the second day is Sunday. This is, what's the difference between Shabbos and Sunday? This is, generally speaking, Sunday represents the normal order of the weekdays. Sunday is the first day of the week, and you get all the way to Shabbos. So how does that work? Sunday is actually brought, and I said this, that spiritually, Sunday is actually the easiest avodah. Sunday is the day when the divine attribute—it's the divine attribute of Chesed shines on Sunday, because each one of the divine attributes manifests more on each corresponding day of the week. It's explained in the sense that actually the way it works is that Sunday is actually easier. You feel you're more inspired, ready to go, ready to get started. But so that's how your person grows. You start from the, when you work from the bottom up, you start with the easier, you work your way up. Just like in Torah learning, right? You start, a 5-year-old, you learn with him Chumash. 10-year-old, you learn with him Mishnah. And so on. You go from what's easier and you work your way up to what's more challenging and more difficult. And that's everything in life. Anybody who wants to grow, everything in life, and you grow in stages, you take on progressively greater challenges, right? If you, even in a secular school, you expect that the subject matter in the 8th grade is going to be more difficult and more challenging than the subject matter in the 2nd grade, because as you grow, you take on progressively more difficult challenges and tasks. So this is the normal order of the weekday when things start from Sunday. Now we know it's also brought in Chazal that there's a Shabbos exists before creation. In creation, it starts with Sunday, the last day is Shabbos. But it's brought that there's a spiritual idea of that Shabbos, there exists a Shabbos that precedes creation. It's brought in Kabbalah Sarim, and that's the source of all the times that they developed afterwards. That's an order that comes from above down below, which is again the avodah of the neshama, which is to take to mitzvah the neshama. The neshama is connected to the loftiest spiritual heights, so to bring down and introduce into the person's daily life things that are above the actual level that he's holding on. In fact, it ever uses an expression that mitzad the neshama, a person could not only do a great avoda, but he could also do gedolos v'neflois. That he could strive for tremendous, the great heights above and beyond what his actual level is. So the Rebbe says, that being the case, that we know that the way the world works is, So that's the two in yonam anila doidi v'doidi li in a person's individual avodah. Besides for the fact that it's describing two different stages, where first you take the initiative and you develop a relationship with the Eivishtan, and then the Eivishtan turns around and responds to you in kind. So that sounds like a two-step process. There's also actually in the initial avodah there has to be both elements, because even revelations from above are supposed to come about through your efforts. So even in your avodah, there should be both these elements, the element of the avodah mitzad the guf, which is to work your way up, step by step, gradually, from less difficult to more difficult, from less challenging to more challenging. But on the other hand, you also have to have a certain element of the avodah of the daily li in your avodah ready, that to sometimes, some aspects of your avodah have to be in a way where you're going way beyond your normal limited capacities. So the Rebbe says, so this is the Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li, as it's alluded to in the 2 days Rosh Chodesh, and the fact that the 2 days Rosh Chodesh come out in this year on Shabbos and Sunday, that there has to be both these things. There has to be from working your way up step by step. And this working your way up step by step, that Rebbe says, this includes even Shabbos, even the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. You still have to always have a sense of your personal gradual progress. There has to be a sense of moving up step by step within the finite limitations of your physical being. You have to be progressively growing upward. That follows the counting of the week, starting from Sunday, following the normal counting of the week. And then, on the other hand, in every day of a person's life, even ordinary days, not special days, even ordinary days, he has to incorporate some aspect of Shabbos-dik avoda in his everyday life. This is actually expressed in the approach of Shammai to Shabbos, that Shammai's approach to Shabbos was that it says that if he saw anything that looked like anything good that could possibly be served at the Shabbos meal, he would put it aside for Shabbos. If he found something better, he would eat the thing he bought on Sunday and save the better thing for Shabbos. That's what, each day he was always looking out for what's a choice, more so a choice delicacy that could be set aside for Shabbos. So, but Hillel's approach was that he took it one day at a time. So it's interesting that even though normally we follow always the way of Hillel, but here, even the approach of Shammai is also brought l'halacha. It's also brought l'halacha that there's such an approach, the approach of Shammai, to taka all week long, be conscious of Shabbos and aware of Shabbos and introduce an element of Shabbos into your everyday life. And so spiritually what that means is the idea of doing an avodah that's besides for your everyday project of growing incrementally, day by day, you also have to have elements where you incorporate aspects of avodah that are beyond, above and beyond your level. So the Rebbe says that when you look at the entirety of the Jewish people in general, you look at different types of Jews, so these two approaches actually can be broken down to that we actually, when we type and categorize Jews, we talk in terms of the two types, the Yisachar type and the Zvulun type. The Yisachar type is the person that's engaged fully in the study of Torah, which we know that the study of Torah is compared to Shabbos, and the Talmud Chacham is compared to Shabbos, that he lives in a world that sort of his whole world is sort of like above the everyday, normal, mundane issues of life. That's his what his main involvement. And the Zvolon is the other way. He's more involved in everyday workday affairs, and he supports the Yisachar. So the Rebbe says, still in all, even though the Yisachar, his primary avoda, is more involved in matters that are above the world, he also has to have in his avoda the element of working gradually and developing himself step by step. The same applies the other way with the Yisachar, and even the Yisachar, even the Zvolon, who his main avoda is the process of incremental growth and development, he also has to have an aspect of Shabbos in his life, of times of Torah study where he's completely removed from his normal everyday affairs and concerns, even his normal everyday spiritual growth process. The Rebbe says that we know in general that when it comes to the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the second day is the main day. In fact, many of the customs that are associated with the month of Elul first start the second day, like blowing the shofar and so on. But the Rebbe says, we could say the reason for this, and especially as it is in this kvias, where the first day is Shabbos and the second day is Sunday, because just like in Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, we say that the beginning, and not just the beginning, but the main thing is the Ani L'Doidi, the work from below, and that this should bring and lead to the drawing down from above. So the same thing is in general, the same thing is in each individual person's avoda, that his main focus has to be the Ani L'Doidi. And then comes the V'Doidi Li, which is the energy and the assistance from above that enables him to do this much higher level of avoda, which in individual terms means the revelation of one's neshama, that when one's neshama is shining through, so then he can do an avoda on a much higher level than if he's just working primarily with the guf. So similarly, when it comes to how we look at time, the main reckoning of time that we do is starting from Sunday and ending with Shabbos, even though we know that there's a higher spiritual system in which Shabbos comes first. That's why the second day of Rosh Chodesh, which is the main day, comes out in this year on Sunday, not with the first day being on Shabbos. So the Rebbe says like this. The normal seder of a person's divine service, which is starting from Ani L'Doidi, what's the reason why that's the main thing? The reason why that's the main thing is because the whole purpose of creation is that Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lius L'Dira V'Tachtayinu. Besides what we said before, the idea that the Eibusha doesn't want it to be bread of shame, he wants that you should earn it through your efforts. But here we're saying more. Here we're saying that the main thing is that it should always, that everything should start with Ani L'Doidi. The Rebbe says, because the Eibusha created the world, he desired a dwelling place in the lowly realms. In order to have a dwelling place in the lowly realms, that means he needs the lowly being, and he set up the world. The nature of the world is, as we said, when you're 5 years old, you start Chumash, when you're 10 years old, you start Mishnah, when you set up the world that way, because that expresses this process of creating a Dira B'Tachtayinu, making the world gradually a suitable place for the Eibush to be revealed in. Because that's how lowly existence has to be elevated from within. If you just bring a revelation from above, so nothing changed down below. You just blew the Tachtayinim away. You didn't change. To have an actual Dira in the Tachtayinim, it's a process of elevating the lowest. A Jew has, so you say, okay, but the Jew also has a neshama. The neshama is not from the tachtainim. The neshama comes from the elyainim. It's actually a little part of chelik aloikam imal mamash. But still, the Eibush has sent the neshama into a body that comes from the tachtainim in this lowly world, of which there is no world lower, because that's the ultimate intent of everything, that a Jew, as a soul and a body, should make a dwelling place for the Eibush to hear down below. And that's why the main focus and the main effort that a person has to be in his avoda is, even though he has to include elements of v'day dili, elements of expressing his neshama and doing an avoda that's much higher than where he's holding, the main focus is on the gradual growth process, step by step, working your way from the bottom up, and developing and growing and getting progressively closer to the Rebbe. Rebbe says, this will also explain why we set up a system where we count starting from Sunday. Why do we count starting from Sunday? The human being was created on Friday. And the human being is the purpose of all creation. But the way the human being was created was that everything else was created before him, and he came, and everything was ready for him. But here, because that's by us, the whole focus is that it should be through our own efforts, so we don't even take that for granted. We don't look at the world as a place that we came to and it's already finished and now we can progress from there, starting counting from Friday. No, we start counting from Sunday, because it's all about working with the lowest elements of existence and the lowest elements of our own beings and the lowest element of existence and elevating them step by step. So the Rebbe says that even the revelation of the neshama, even the revelation of the neshama, we said that the just like we say that the revelation of the Eibishte in his dwelling, the main idea is that it should come through the efforts of human beings down below, from the lowly beings to the same thing is true with the revelation of the neshama within the individual. That the main thing is when the revelation of the neshama within the individual comes in a way that it came about through his own efforts. Not just that he has everybody has times where the neshama is more prominent and the neshama is more revealed. The main idea is that even the revelation of the neshama within the person, at which times he's capable of doing avodas that are above and beyond where he's actually holding, that also should come about through his efforts. Rebbe says, in fact, we have this idea. The pasuk says, "Hakol hayu min ha'afar." Everything came from the earth, from the dust, which means that even the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the first source of all things is the lowly earth. That's what it says in Torah. "Hakol hayu min ha'afar." Everything starts with the earth. Why is that? That's the whole system of creation. The highest revelations should come about from the lowest level, and that's everything else should be revealed and extracted and developed from that. It all has to start from the absolute bottom, and that's why, and everything else is supposed to come and develop from that. So the Rebbe says, based on this, we can understand what the Cheshbon and the Avod of Chodesh Elul, as expressed in the Rosh HaTevis, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, that there's three aspects of it. One is the Ani L'Doidi, the other is the V'Doidi Li, and the third thing is the fusion of the two together. Which means, what's the fusion of the two together? That means that when there's the Avod of the work that I do from below, of gradually growing and developing step by step, and this has to be constant. That is Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. You have to always have your eye on the process, the growth process. You need to be growing, developing, expanding, broadening, taking on greater tasks and challenges, and then stretching yourself and growing constantly. Then there's the avodah v'daily li, that there's times when a person, times of special inspiration, times of special kedusha, Shabbos, a Yom Tov, times when you're davening and the neshama is more expressed, times when you can access the higher powers of the neshama, and takadu an avodah that's higher than where you're actually holding in your step-by-step development. The other says the third thing is the fusion of the two, which means that you grow and develop yourself to the point that when you have that the revelation of the neshama that enables you to reach those far greater heights, you've properly prepared yourself for. It's not just that it shows up and takes over. But that through it, that it comes about as a result of your efforts, and it's something that you're actually ready for, so you end up having the combination of both. That you're doing the work, you're doing the effort, and you're doing the work and the effort, and even and even as you're being infused and invested with greater divine energies and greater soul energies, that becomes synergized and incorporated into your gradual development and growth. So the advantage of the work that you do from below is that it's internalized. It's a part of you. It's your growth, your development. It's all about the ani. Before you get to the ladaydi, it is the development and the growth of the ani. Okay, as it's growing progressively closer of ladaydi to my below. The advantage of the Daidi Li is that it's a much greater revelation. The Ani is a little less a revelation, but it's more internalized. It's about you and your development. The Vidaidi Li is moments of great revelation and inspiration, and but it's not really a part of you. It's not something that's internal. It's a much greater revelation, but it's not. Ultimately, it fizzles out, and then you're back to your gradual, everyday, step-by-step growth and development. The ultimate is the fusion of the two, that you're growing step by step, working your way up, but and when you have those greater revelations from above, you're able to incorporate and internalize them. Even that has come about through your efforts and your work, so that you're able to incorporate and internalize them and proceed from there in your upward trajectory. So the Rebbe says, based on this, we can understand an important. The Rebbe says a key point in the cheshbon, the nefesh that a person makes in the chodesh el, when a person has to sit down and figure out, okay, what have I done this past year up to this point? So the first thing is he has to see, where have I done? How have I done in my effort? Where did I start? How much work and effort have I invested in growing, in progressing, in where did I start from? Where did I need to get to? What have I done to get to there? And so on. Which also, generally speaking, refers to the process of refining your body and refining your material world. It means growing and expanding and developing your physical capacities. In addition, a Jew is not supposed to just make a reckoning of how much he has grown as a physical human being in terms of it expanding his spiritual capacities. He also has to make a cheshbon in terms of the degree to which he has channeled the kaychas of his neshama to do a much higher level of an avodah which is not bound and limited by his physical capacities. And additionally, he has to have, how much have I been able to synthesize and synergize these two aspects of my avodah, meaning that as I experience that those times that I utilize and I'm able to tap into the higher energies of the neshama to do my divine service on a level that's beyond the physical limitations of my body, how much have I incorporated that so that now my body can grow on an even greater level than it did before. So So the Rebbe says that when a person makes his proper cheshbon in his own life, in his own avodah, so he also has, and he makes the cheshbon of his, terms of his sphere of influence in the world, the idea of the part of the world that's his job to affect and influence, so ultimately he also has the power to make the cheshbon for the entire world. As the Rambam says, that just if the Rambam says that through one mitzvah, a Jew has the power to tip the scale for the entire world, then certainly he also has the power to make the cheshbon for the entire world. So the Rebbe says, also explains the connection with what's the connection with Shabbos Avarchem El and Parsha of Ekev, which it's actually pretty uncommon. It's more commonly falls out in Parshas Re. It falls out in Parshas Ekev. So the Rebbe says that the word Ekev has has a number of meanings, and they actually seem to be opposite. One of the meanings for Ekev, the way Rashi explains Ekev, is that Ekev means the mitzvah that a person tramples on with his heel. So that would seem to indicate that we're talking about someone who's like really at the very early stages of his avodah, somebody who we have to be concerned, we have to be worried that he's possibly trampling on certain mitzvahs that he considers light mitzvahs. So obviously we're talking about a person who's on a beginner level, so to speak, spiritually. There's another interpretation for the word Ekev, which the literal meaning of Ekev means because. It's used many times in Chumash to mean because. So related to that, but slightly different, is an interpretation of the Ibn Ezra and others, that Ekev means the end. Just like we use the head, just like we use to describe beginnings and ends, we use the head to describe the beginning, because we use the imagery of a body to describe the beginning as the rosh, the head. So similarly, he says, when we want to say the end of something, we say the Ekev is the end. So that V'haya Ekev Tishmon is talking about the reward that comes at the end. So that's already talking about a person who's already completed his avodah, and now we're talking about the reward that comes at the end. So you have two meanings of the same word in the same pasuk, two interpretations, and they seem to be opposite extremes. This is actually an additional question. The 5-year-old child who's learning Chumash actually encountered the word Ekev way back in Bereishis. It said about Avram Avinu, Ekev Asher Shama Avram B'Koili. And there, Rashi didn't explain the word Ekev at all. Rashi didn't feel that he had to explain the word Ekev. Why? Because obviously it means because. So how come here he felt the need to explain Ekev and to explain it to mean that it's the mitzvah that a person might trample on with his heel, to explain it in a way that it's sort of talking about someone who's at the beginning of his avodah. And the Rebbe explains the fact that these two words have the same thing is because they're connected. The whole point of the exercise of the human being down below, creating the dwelling place of God in the lowly realms, is that everything that comes in the end should all come about through your efforts, which when we talk about it should all come about through your efforts means that you start from the bottom and work your way up. That's the whole point, that the tachlis is that the greatest revelations and the greatest rewards and the greatest everything should all come from the work that you did starting all the way at the bottom. It has to come from the bottom, and it brings down all the highest revelations. So the same thing applies. We find a similar thing with the word Ekev in a term that Chazal used to describe the period that we're living in. They used this word to describe the period that we're living in. They say Ekev Sidda Mashicha. And we find two explanations for Ekev Sidda Mashicha. One explanation is the heel, the lowest, that is talking about the lowest generation, the lowest souls. And in fact, Chazal say, describe all kinds of negative manifestations that will take place in Ekev Sidda Mashicha, such as Chutzpah Yazge, other things that are the preponderance of Chutzpah. These are all expressions of the fact that it's such a low generation. We also find another explanation in Ekev Sidda Mashicha, meaning that it's the generation that's mamish, the footsteps, that the generation that walks into Mashiach, that's the start of the Messianic era. The Ekev says again, it's the same idea. These two things are linked, these two things are connected, because the whole idea is that Dafka, through the Aveda of working from the bottom, that's what brings about the ultimate revelations. Dafka Avodah that we do at the lowest levels that bring about the highest revelations. So the point is, so here, you know, just there's another whole piece at the end where the Rebbe explains the Rebbe discusses the fact that they brought that Friday to the Rebbe, Tanya, that was published in Braille. So the Rebbe said, even if it's possible to say, how could it be that we finished all the work and it wasn't, and Mashiach still hasn't come yet? So the Rebbe said, I thought, could be, maybe this is a type of Jew that the wellsprings did not become accessible to. The Rebbe says, I'm very well aware that not every Jew who the wellsprings is accessible to is actually taking advantage of that. But still, there's the idea of the accessibility to everybody. So that should be enough to bring Mashiach, the fact of the accessibility to every Jew, even if not all Jews are yet taking advantage of that accessibility. Then he says, but I thought there's one type of person that it wasn't even accessible to him. That's a blind person, and now it's written in Braille, so even... But the Rebbe says, so what does it mean, the cheshbon tzedek? What does it mean, the reckoning, the accounting that you make at the end of the year in terms of the geula? And the Rebbe speaks in very strong terms about the time that we're living in. That the Rebbe says, yeah, the Rebbe says in terms of the lesson, the cheshbon nefesh of chodesh el, especially as it relates to the subject, which is the timely matter, the true and complete redemption, as spoken many times, and especially recently, since I await his coming every day, and according to all signs, Hinei Zeh Mashiach Ba. Therefore, we're constantly thinking and talking about the Geula, and we look to connect every single thing of the time with the Geula. And the Avodah of a Jew is to speed up the Geula. So the Rebbe says, so what's the reckoning in the matzav that we are in of Ekev, of Ikvus of the Mashiach, that we said that it's that especially now in the time that we're living in, that we finished everything, and the Friedrich Rebbe already said we finished everything, and we finished everything even more. So therefore, all Jews beg and cry again and again, and now even more than before, Ad Masai. The Rebbe explains that that a Jew has the power to arouse himself and also other Jews, and especially to be aroused the Eibishter to make Bayev and Achshav Cheshbonei Shalayim. Let's make the cheshbon of the whole world, not just my own personal individual cheshbon. The Rebbe says, according to the cheshbon, all cheshbonis, Mashiach should have been here already, a long time, especially in that year of Tavshin and Aleph, which is the year that Mashiach is revealed in. So the Rebbe connects it to coming from the 3 weeks when we learned about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which the Abishah says, I treat it as if they actually built it. And after the 15th of Av, which we already start increasing in Torah study, and we're almost completed two Shabbosses from Tu B'Av, which through keeping two Shabbosses we merit the redemption, and we also Shabbos of Aruchim El, which is a time when the king is in the field. So all these things are cheshbonis. So how could it be that Mashiach's not here, and then we have to cry out Ad Masa? So yeah, but the point I think that the key point that we have to take from this whole thing is that the whole idea. The Rebbe spoke about in the weeks earlier, the Rebbe spoke about the fact that a Jew has to prepare himself and already start projecting himself into the time of Geula and living as he would already live in the time of Geula in preparation and anticipation. And in order to be ready, you have to put yourself into a Geula state and so on. So to a lot of people, the idea of being in a Geula state means you're totally like removed from worldly matters, you're totally removed from worldly affairs. The perception is that being involved in my everyday work, in my everyday activities, in my everyday personal growth and development, in Torah mitzvahs, right? Especially, I just started learning Chumash, I haven't, or maybe I just started learning Mishnah, or something. I mean, in my own personal growth trajectory, I see I have a long way to go before I get to where I'm even going to feel like I've gotten anywhere. And talking about that, I have to be living in the time of Geula, the time of redemption. The point that the Rebbe is trying to emphasize and bring out, that a person needs to understand, it's not a contradiction. That is not a contradiction. In fact, Chassidus demands that your primary focus be on the process of gradual development and gradual growth. But not only does that not negate doing things that are expressing the revelations from above and revelations of your own neshama, and which especially as when we talk about the revelation of Mashiach, we're talking about access to deeper and greater soul levels that were not accessible previously. There was this, not only is it not a contradiction, but the whole point is that you're supposed to incorporate that into your everyday growth process. It's supposed to incorporate aspects of Avodah which are beyond your natural limitations, beyond your limited capacity. So to walk around saying, I'm not holding that, yes, we know you're not holding that. That's the point. You have to incorporate in things where you absolutely know you're not holding that. But the real challenge is, so that's why we say your main focus has to be on working and growing and developing and step by step and stage by stage. And he keeps going back to that. We start with Sunday and we go to Monday and we work our way up till we get to Shabbos. But the point is that you have to be ready. You have to incorporate aspects of Shabbos in your everyday avodah. But you also have to be ready to receive the revelation of Shabbos when it comes, so that the next Sunday you're starting at a whole new level, but you're still working. It's not a contradiction. Doing a higher avodah, in fact, you need both. You need the gradual growth and the higher avodah, and even more so, you need to actually fuse the two. You need to make that your personal stage by stage growth and development is the source of the higher avodah, and as you incorporate the higher avodah in your life, this provides greater power and impetus to your personal growth and development. And that's why the either or mentality, either I'm in Golus or I'm in Geula, that's not right. The Rebbe says that one of the points that I've made is that it's actually through the Avodah of Aleph, the way he's explaining Aleph of Elul is that you start from the bottom and you work your way up. That is itself the source that gives you the power to create Geula by bringing down the Aleph from above into the Geula. Because everything, Hakel Hayyim off, it all starts from the bottom up. Everything starts. So you have to feel like, A, you have to have the feeling that it's up to me. It's my job. I got to do the work. Because if you don't feel that way, you don't do the work. Right? So you only do the work when you feel like it's your job to do. You also have to feel like, I can do it. Okay? Because you have to feel like, I can do it. I can accomplish it. Because if you don't feel like you can accomplish it, you're not going to ever be able to get started. You have to feel like, it's my job. I can accomplish it. And the way you actually see what you can really get a taste for yourself of what you're capable of accomplishing is that you don't just do the avodah of step by step, but you also incorporate the avodah of introducing aspects of avodah that are much higher than your level, even though that's not your main focus. Your main focus has to always be working your way up, but it's also... Yes.
Give me an example of that, like above your level in day-to-day life. I think you touched it a couple
of weeks ago. It's very interesting. In general, there's actually a Rishima from the Friedrich Rebbe. Later, he brings it, he even mentions it in the Maimer too, that sometimes when a person wants to, he uses an example of a person's intellectual development. Right? A person's intellectual development is gradual. Like the Rebbe gives here an example. You start with Chumash at 5 and Mishnah at 10 and Gemara at 15. You work your way up to progressively great intellectual challenges. So your intellectual capacities and abilities, you expand them as you use them. You expand your capacities. So what was very difficult for you to learn 2 years ago is easier for you to learn now, but now you can move on to things that you couldn't even consider trying to learn 2 years ago because they were beyond. But he explains that sometimes when the person is looking for when you want to get a breakthrough, right? So he talks about it from the perspective of a teacher. That sometimes a teacher wants to develop his student, so he has to figure out the level that the student is on and tailor the lessons to that level and gradually bring the student up level by level. Sometimes you want to help the student sort of break out. You feel like the student is blocked and you want to like help him break out. And sometimes there's an idea of exposing the student to something that's way beyond his, just sort of like blowing his mind. That there is such an idea that sometimes blowing your student's mind, that itself opens him up in a way that that he wouldn't get to if he just sat and worked himself up gradually. He's still going to have to go back to working gradually. You didn't blow, even when you blew his mind away, he didn't magically transform into a different brain and now he could hold his capacity. But you opened him up for a whole new process of growth, even though he's going to have to do the step-by-step growth. There are guys, you'll meet many people, like, you know, especially Israeli Balchuvas who read Hebrew anyway, naturally. So they'll say, like, you know, someone handed me a Tanya and I was reading it, and I had no idea what it's saying. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it, you know what? But somehow I just knew that this is it. This has the answers. I had no idea what it's saying, but I knew it just sort of like... Right? So, who ever heard of such a thing? How could you know? You didn't understand it. If you understood it, you could say, I understood it a little. I wanted to understand it more, so I took it to some... Guy says, I didn't understand that. I have no idea what he's talking about, but I knew that this is... Why? Because that's what happens. When sometimes when you're exposed to something that sort of blows you away, even if you don't quite get it. I remember somebody told me, I met somebody who told me that he got the English book on the essence of Hasidus. He told me he picked it up and he read it from cover to cover and he decided that when he finished his side, he's coming about true. So, really? Like, what, you really understood the whole thing? He said, bits and pieces. Can I explain to you everything that it said in there? Bits and pieces. But somehow the lights went on, you know? I said, wow, this is, I mean, I had a different journey, but I had a similar experience with that same, I didn't read it in English, I read it in the original Hebrew, and then, yeah, when I learned that Sikha in Yonash L'Perzach said this, I was not a Lubavitcher, and I was not interested in becoming one. The first time I learned it, someone handed it to me in Lakewood and said, oh, check it out, because you're interested in other Hasidic ideas. Here, this, he sort of explains. I used to look in other Hasidic sermons, but like not Chabad. He explains, you might be interested to see how his take on Hasidus, on what it is. I don't know. I remember I read it at the time, and it blew me away. And I changed my whole, didn't make me a Lubavitch at the time, it took a few years after that, but it changed my whole way of looking at the Rebbe. In other words, I came from sadly, from a world where we didn't look at the Rebbe with the proper respect, to say the least. So it just totally, if that, I did basically understand that. It wasn't like I was at a whole different place. I wasn't starting from scratch. I basically got what he was saying. But reading that and knowing that it came from that mind, that man, that this, that, it changed my whole way of looking at the Rebbe. Which ended up being instrumental in long story. But the point is that everybody has it on a small scale in their life that, oh, you know, there's a time where you just like dive in, but you know, you know, this is not really where you're at or what you're up to. What it is, well, you have a time where you see something, a mime, and it catches your fancy, and you're learning it, even though you know you're really not fully getting it, you're not really there, you know. And sometimes you can even get it. Sometimes you can have moments where you just, that's it. Even though maybe, you know, if in that moment, in that time, you were open to going for something beyond what you're normally capable of, and you see that it goes, it happens, it goes. There's times when your neshama is more accessible, more revealed, more manifest, more, and you have those moments, and you have to grab those moments. Even if that's not going to be where you're at in your everyday life, you have to grab those moments and quench the most you can out of them, and then, instead of just crashing back down to earth and feeling, you know, instead of crashing back down to earth, you have to also have in mind, how am I going to incorporate this? Okay, this is not really where I'm at. This is where that's what he's saying. Your eye has to always be on your gradual growth and development. You can't lose sight of that. You can't get, you know, if you just stop flying, and people have times when they're flying. If you just start flying and then you lose sight of the fact that you're in a, you know, you're you know, your feet are on a ladder, and you you start flying, and you forget about your feet. You know, you'll crash. So the point is, you, to incorporate the two things, that it's not one or the other, it's the two together. It's not either I'm a gula person or I'm an everyday person. It's, you have to fuse the two together. And that's the whole point of the Dirabat Tachtainim. The whole point of the Dirabat Tachtainim is that it should be, that it should be totally integrated. The divine essence with the lowest physicality, which actually is a manifestation in its way of the true divine essence, that the Yesh HaNivra is the Yesh HaAmiti. So it's that awareness that it's actually, it all comes from the lowest, and it's in fact the lowest is actually ultimately where it's all at. It's not a conflict. It's just the process whereby it's revealed. That's right. But again, it's in order to even, in other words, if you spend most of your life on your behind, and then so even when you get it inspired and you fly, so when that's over, you go back and you crash, you land flat on your behind again. Right? But if you're on your feet and you're moving and you're growing and you're developing, and it's not just enough, and that's not going to happen by itself. You're part of the month of the Chodesh El is, you have to have a plan. You have to have a business. You have to have a business plan, and you have to have an accounting. The plan is, what am I going to do? The accounting is, what have I done till now, and how do I need to tweak and fix and readjust my plan for the future? So most people, unfortunately, you know, from Maidani to Amapil, it's just like whatever happens, happens. They don't, very often, they don't have a plan. They don't have a sense of growth. They don't have a sense of a process. They don't have a sense of, okay, yesterday was this, so now today has to be this, and tomorrow has to be, I got to move on. Most people don't have a sense of moving on, and very often they wake up after a couple of years and they say, hey, I feel like I slid back. I missed the good old days when I was holding air. Now I feel like I'm holding air. Because if you don't have a plan and you don't do the work, it's a geitnist. What are you going to do? Got to have a plan and you got to do the work. You got to work. You have all kinds of mitzvahs. Right, so you have to figure out how do you grow in your observance of the mitzvah of tzitzis? How do you grow in your observance of the mitzvah of tefillin? How do you grow in your so I'm assuming that you can't really do much changing of the physical tefillin. So when you talk about growing, you talk about growing in terms of your awareness of what you're doing, your consciousness of what you're doing, how much it affects and impacts your day, those hours that you're wearing tefillin, how, you know, just in everything in life. Sure, in everything in life, there's one. And you talk about the, you know, in mitzvahs, how do I improve in my everything? How do I improve in my tzedakah? How do I improve in my Torah learning? How do I improve in my davar? There's all kinds of, you have to learn about these things in order to know how to grow and develop in these things. And if you talk about your personal character traits, there's a lot of things. So if you learn Chitas and you see in Tanya, he brings many things each day. You encounter things in Tanya that he tells you that you could be working on and growing in. So what happens is those people just look at it and they say, "Yeah, it's too much. It's overwhelming." So they open the whole thing and they just go back to winging it from Maidani to Amapu. But, you know, and whatever it will be, will be. So pick something, right? Today we learned in Tanya, Mitzvah Davizorbet Tvei. So pick the one thing that you're going to work on that.
Going to this machine.
You should have it. You're supposed to work on your Midas. You're supposed to work on your Midas. You have I'm saying it's the Chayin Shel. You're going to make a Cheshvan for the whole year. But in the midah of the Kas, would you say that over the last 11 months there's been a change, an improvement in terms of the midah of Kas, anger? Okay, which is the equivalent of idol worship, right? So it's not a good thing.
Depends.
It's equivalent. You're talking about, right? You're talking about, I need. You're talking about, I want to get close to God, right? So there's nothing that get there's the two things that get you furthest from God. The two things that get you furthest from God in your character are arrogance and anger. So you want to get closer to God. You've been working a whole year on getting closer to God. Anila Daily. Okay, so what have you done about arrogance and anger for over the last 11 months? What have you, right? You have to work. I once read a book that I wasn't so interested in the book as I was interested in the person, in the story behind the book. Okay, there was a lady who had a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And everyone who tasted her recipe for chocolate chip cookies thought, wow, these chocolate chip cookies are really great. If you would sell these chocolate chip cookies, people would really buy them. So finally she decided, you know what, after years and years of people telling her about how great her chocolate chip cookies are, she decided, you know what, she'll rent the store and she'll try to sell them. Anyway, it became so successful that she ended up with a chain of stores. But she didn't just end up with a chain of stores, she ended up being the CEO of a chain of stores. So how a housewife who bakes cookies becomes a CEO was fascinating to me. Because the amount of responsibilities you have as a CEO are vast and enormous, and there's just a lot of details. Not just say I'll be the CEO, let everyone else run it, and I can sit home. No, everything crosses your desk, even though you don't do all the little steps that everyone else does the work, but you have to, right? So I was fascinated by the idea that somebody who, when you have a vested interest in something, in the success of any given venture, you'd be surprised how good you will become at handling details. That's it. She knew nothing about accounting. She knew nothing about the accounts receivable. She knew nothing about bookkeeping and nothing about accounting and nothing about corporate structure and nothing about payment salary structures and pension plans and she didn't know anything about anything. She's a housewife. Okay. And now she's making decisions about everything. I don't know if the business even exists anymore. Do they exist anymore, Mrs. Fields Cookies? I don't even know if they exist anymore, but it was a chain all over the United States. The thing is, people look at it and say, wow, all these things to work on, and it just seems like so overwhelming and so impossible. And so, it was human nature. When you take on more responsibility, as you got hit with more and more responsibilities, you figure out what you need to do, and you do it. You'd only crash if you feel like they're not yours or if you feel like they're a burden. Those are the two things that make you crash when you take on more responsibilities. Either you feel put upon, the two are related. I mean, the reason why you feel like it's a burden is you feel put upon, that why should I have to do all of this? That's when you crash. When you're the one who's becoming a gazillionaire, when every new responsibility you take on is bringing you in new and greater rewards, so you're excited, you're looking forward, you're jumping out of bed to get to the next challenge. It happens because we feel like, why me? Why this? To only crash from things that are burdensome. People don't crash from things that are inspiring and exciting and exhilarating. The only other way people crash is if they don't have their feet on the ground. If you try to start a nationwide corporation without having the right structure in place because you're so excited about your product, so you're also going to crash. You need to do the work. You need to do the step by step work. You need to build the infrastructure. You need to build the you need to focus on the details. You can't just get excited about the general ideas. But that's the point. The more you're excited about the general idea, the more equipped you are to deal with the details. But you have to deal with them. Or else you have no ground. You have no support. You have no structure. You're going to fall. But everybody can handle a lot more than they think they can. One of the reasons why they think they can't is because they don't see how it's all connected. It just seems like a lot of divergent details. You don't see how all the different details are connected. So it seems like too much. Simcha, what was that? Anger, arrogance, kindness. But the point is, the whole point is, it's all about anila daidili. I got to get close to God. It's all about getting close to God. When you have your focus, you know what the general focus is, then all the details fall into place. If you gave one person a job to only change diapers, and then you came after a few months, you came along and say, okay, now I'm adding to your job that you have to feed, not just change the diapers, you have to feed the baby. Change the diapers and feed the baby. Now you have another job, you change the diapers, feed the baby, and put the baby to sleep. You know what happens? A baby comes along, and all of a sudden you get hit with all the jobs in one shot. And you know what happens? If you're committed to it, if you feel like put upon and a burden and this, you crack. If you're excited and you're this, so you adjust and you incorporate every single one of those details, even though it didn't come like in an orderly, structured fashion, one after another, and you know gradually it is. That's it. You figure it all out, and then you make it all work because it's all part of one thing. Raising a child. So it's not like, this and this. Yeah, no. Right. If you think that way, you're going to feel pulled apart in so many different directions and you're going to crack. So when you have realized that it's all one thing, it's just the different details of the one thing. So the details fall into place.